Hello, everyone, and welcome to part one of the sixth Buzzwords. Buzzwords is a live discussion and game show featuring two interesting people and a bottle of whiskey hosted by Jeff Kamen. This week's guests are Tim Turi and Dan Reichert. They will be discussing their areas of expertise at the start of each half of the show. There are words each person is not allowed to say. If they say any of the words, they must drink. Not all of the words are in play at the same time. The words rotate at random and are displayed behind the guests for the audience to see. If a participant happens to use one of the forbidden words, you will hear a sound, as well as what forbidden word was mentioned. For example, if the forbidden word wrestling is used, you'll hear the following.
Wrestling.
Now, on to the show.
So, the way it works is our guests will be experts on a topic, okay? So, they each have to remain an expert of some sort while doing these shots. And the way it works is if they say one of the words that is projected behind them, you guys will let us know. Let's say the word is buzzed words and one of them says it. What would you do? Just give me some noise. Yeah. All right. And if Dan said it, then Dan would have to do a shot of whiskey. But here's the thing. Mostly those are whiskey, but some of those are fake. And this is a Russian roulette aspect of it, because there are maybe Lipton Brisk tea, which with lemon, which could be a real downer if you're expecting whiskey to get a brisk baby right in the throat. Yeah. That's brisk baby.
And it's room temperature. And
yeah. Nothing like room temperature Lipton Brisk pre-sweetened tea when you're expecting Maker's Mark. But the thing is, this isn't a frat party. We're not hazing these guys. Uber is our sponsor. So thanks to Uber, these guys get a free ride. And you guys can get a really good ride if you use the code BuzzedWords. You get $25 off of a ride with Uber. So they are not driving. We don't want anyone drinking and driving. And, you know, we're not going to force them, but we encourage them strongly with the sound to do the shot. And it's probably going to be whiskey. It might be warm tea. And then please continue to be an expert on your topic. So tonight's guests are Dan Reichert, who will be an expert on wrestling, professional wrestling in particular, and Tim Turi, who is an expert on video game music, video game soundtracks. And I understand both of you work for Game Informer magazine, right. The video
yes.
game magazine.
Yes.
Fantastic. So, you know, there is a good video game crossover, so we'll probably hit a lot of video game questions tonight. You may see the index cards that are being passed around right now in the pen. That is for you guys to write down your questions for Dan and Tim, and we'll start the second half of the show after the intermission with those questions, or at least as many of them that we deem worthy, you know. So we've come up with a bunch of questions for these guys, and we're going to have some fun. But let's start with Tim. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Tell me what your day job is, if you can explain that. And then if it's not your dream job, maybe tell me what your dream job is. Now, I don't know if any of your other coworkers are here or anyone that or a boss or anything.
Right,
but
right.
You just understand. Everyone's got dreams, right? Do you have a dream catcher above your bed?
Do
you
ever? Yeah, no, I do. It's
you
full.
You do? That's fantastic. Yeah. It's full?
Just of nightmares.
You need to empty.
It's clogged up.
It's
yeah, it's terrifying. There's
yeah,
flies
like
buzzing around it.
A
it's
nightmare
terrible.
Trap.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Have you seen The Omen? It's a lot like that.
Oh, I've seen it. Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. I frequently check this part of my kids' heads because after certain days, I'm like, let me see.
It's like, oh, it's five.
The number of the beast.
Is
yeah, there's, okay. Oh, okay, yeah. It's just a barcode now. It's just, yeah, I just scanned them. So, Tim, tell us about your day job and then what your dream job would be.
Okay, yeah. So I'm a senior associate editor at Game Informer magazine, but it's not just a magazine. There's like a website that we got going on. And yeah, so my day job is like I write about video games, essentially. Yeah,
video.
It's really... Really, really. Oh wait, hold on. Is that?
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. They actually,
like, they're
yeah,
just no, they video love games are really cool. Video games,
yeah, yeah, okay. And they love video games. And
that was bourbon for sure. Yeah.
All right.
So I write about this interactive media, and that involves, you know, I think a lot of people assume that it involves playing games mostly, but. There's a lot of it's a lot of writing and research and stuff like that. Sometimes we'll be reviewing something,
yeah.
And you know, you'll play the game for review or research or something, and then you'll write a review or a preview or a news story or something like that. And then we do other fun things like podcasting, much like what we're doing now, with less booze, though. So, yeah, that's a really cool part about videos. And we just, yeah.
Video.
All right. This happens quick, doesn't it?
Jesus Christ. That was more bourbon. Okay. Right?
So, Tim, are you living the dream?
You know, yeah, I think essentially... I am living the dream big time. I mean, look at what's happening right here. I'm talking about video games and drinking free booze.
Video. Yeah.
We're really going for it.
That's the right. The nightmare trap is coming up behind you.
Yeah, these are all bourbon, which is really good.
All bourbon all the time. All right.
That's right.
Thanks, Tim. We'll give you a break here a second. Let's meet Dan Reichert.
Hi.
Dan. You're going to talk about professional wrestling, but tell us about your day job and your dream job.
All right. I work with Tim. We actually got hired together at the same time, and I do pretty much the exact same thing as Tim. I'm a senior associate editor, so we're regulars on the same video show we do where we play old video games on the same podcast and everything. We write stories. So am I allowed to look up here?
No.
No, okay, all right. No. All right. Sorry, I didn't know.
That's an auto shot.
So, yeah, I do the same thing. As you know, you ask about dream jobs, and I subscribed to this magazine when I was 9, and because I wanted to learn all the Mortal Kombat fatalities when I was a kid, and I was buying it at the store, and I saw this magazine right next to it with the big Mortal Kombat logo on it, and it's like, all the fatalities, and so I bought it.
Finish him!
Yeah. And so, yeah, growing up, that was the thing. Like, every time my mom went to the grocery store, I would sit on the floor of the magazine section and read Electronic Gaming Monthly and all these other video game magazines, and that's... I would read these and see that, like, holy shit, these people are adults and they're getting paid to do this full time. Like,
yeah.
I need to direct my entire life towards making that a reality. And every decision I ever made past that was specifically to get right here, basically. So that eventually worked out.
Well, congratulations. That's fantastic. The only thing that worries me about what you said is you said you basically do the same thing he does. So is at any point maybe one of you is going to be made redundant?
There's a lot of...
I don't think you ever want to say... I don't think you ever... I've learned I never want to say that what I do is exactly what somebody else does. What I do, no one does what I do. You have to... You know what I mean? You always want to be the guy that knows how to... So differentiate quickly.
Here's the difference. So we do this show called Replay where we play all these old games and stuff. And there's one where we do Super Replay, which is we play the entirety of an old game. And... He is always the one that we bring in to play all these super shitty old games because he has a lot of patience and I don't. And so basically I just get to sit back and be a wise ass while he has to go through like horrible shit and like horrible boss fights and these broken old games. And I get to just sit back and make fun of him and piss him off basically.
And Dan's the kind of guy that we bring on to play games because he's so specifically bad at some games. Like he's just, there'll be this game that's totally revered, a game called like Half-Life. It's like a super, he had never played it. And he sat down and it was like honestly like just, actually pure rage directed at you with how bad you were at that. No, Dan, I know that you're good at games, but like for some reason you just blew it the entire time. And that's sort of a thing.
Wow.
And there is 12 straight hours of footage of this on the internet. If anybody wants to see him get pissed off at me for 12 hours,
fantastic. All right.
It's readily available.
All right. I get it. You guys are more like an odd couple of video games now. There's definitely a place for both of you. No one will be made redundant. Now I see the differences. Thank you for pointing it out.
Can I be the math owl? You can be the lemon.
Okay.
Does that work? Okay, great.
All right. Fantastic. Dan. Why do all pro wrestlers call each other brother?
That was a thing that definitely started with... God, it's going to be on the screen, isn't it? Hulk Hogan? No? Okay, good. Like, during the Hogan era, basically, they were all just these big action figure, 6'5", you know, close to 300-pound guys.
Is there another era after that?
There are numerous eras.
You know Mean Gene, I just got to say one thing, I could put a smack down on him.
I don't know. I mean, is there anything different after that? Did it get any better?
Yeah, the Golden Age is probably 98 to 2001, I would say.
Come on. The Golden Age was not
the
80s?
The Bronze Age.
Yeah. Are we going to enter an ice age soon of professional wrestling?
That was kind of the mid-2000s, basically.
Okay, so tell us about the Golden Age.
Well, the Golden Age was the Hulkamania era. Which part of that was it? That was iced tea.
Wow. Good thing you have a Furious in your hand.
Is it divided between sides? Is it just so, all?
Okay. I've got all 10 of them over here. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Shit, what was the question? It was the Hulkamania era. So.
Did you think it might have been the? Is that why you went back to the same word?
That was whiskey. I don't know which word it was. I'm going to refer to that man as Terry Bollea. So during Bollea Mania,
is that
it was got
that,
a ring to it?
Is that the Hulkster's real name, Terry Bollea?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Fantastic. So everyone's calling each other brother, and we're in the golden age. Go ahead.
That was a different period for the business, for sure. Everyone, like the good guys, were just cartoon good guys. You know, they were G.I. Joe.
I am a real American.
All right. You know your stuff here. All right. Yes. Yeah. That's a good karaoke song, by the way, if you're ever at Vegas Lounge. Yeah.
I don't think. Can you imagine coming to karaoke just like tearing your shirt off?
I've never done that, but
now I'm going to do WWF songs.
I have sung Real American several times at the Vegas Lounge.
Oh,
so.
Fantastic. Yeah.
But so.
Do you want to sing a little bit of it now?
No.
Okay.
The not at all, really.
The night is young.
Talk to me a little later.
We'll come back to that.
We'll see.
Okay.
So, back then the characters were way more cut and dry comic book, which there are a billion parallels between comic books and wrestling. But yeah.
Wrestling.
Wow, okay. All right. Ice tea.
Oh.
A lot of parallels between comic books and professional grappling. And Terry Bollea was kind of the poster child of that. As far as being the good guy, I mean, he was always saying, hey, kids, you know, say your prayers, drink your milk, eat your vitamins, and, you know, always be strong, brother. And what the hell just happened? That's the weirdest crowd reaction I've ever gotten.
No, Art, that was a foul. That was, yeah.
Do
Art,
I take one?
No, you don't have to.
I think I know what just happened.
Art should have to do one.
Oh, okay.
That was. He's got a twitchy laptop finger right now.
So back then, yeah, the bad guys were just nefarious, evil. A lot of the times it played on, you know, real life. You know, if there was a war going on, you know, after World War II, there were a lot of like German and Russian villains, especially Russian during the Cold War with Nikita Koloff and the Mad Russian. There's a bunch of these old classic Russian or German wrestling villains. And then it became Iron Sheik in the 80s. And then they even kind of dabbled a little bit with Middle Eastern villains in the post 9/11 era. But yeah, back then it was Hogan. Oh, I thought it was up there.
You were like, you're almost stepping on a mine. Like, Hogan.
Yes. He was the cookie cutter good guy. But then as the audience got smarter, basically, in the 90s, and the internet really added to this, because it was easy to conceal the secrets of the business before there was an internet. You know, you had your hardcore fans that kind of understood how things worked. They knew the insider terminology and everything. But it was easy to keep the mainstream audiences. Like, if you went into the Dallas Sportatorium in, you know, 1981, 99% of the people in that audience would think that that bad guy really was a dick, and they're really hurting each other and everything. But the internet changed everything, and the audience got smarter, and that's why storylines and characters had to be more reality.
Character.
Yep.
She said from the top ropes, and she broke a chair on his back. Yeah. So, are you in some ways implying that the internet ruined professional wrestling? Or
no, it made it much better.
It made it better.
Much better.
Tell me why. Tell me how.
To me, the biggest fascination with the business is trying to figure out the line between fantasy and reality, because
that's like my everyday.
Right. Because back then, it was just very much these black and white storylines. And now, once the internet came around and like they found that the best characters were the ones that were actual people taking their actual personalities and turning it up to a cartoon level. Like Stone Cold Steve Austin is a beer-swilling redneck from Texas. And he plays a beer-swilling redneck from Texas. The Rock was a cocky, loudmouth, you know, charismatic dude. And that's what the character of The Rock was. So all of those characters were way more compelling that way than just, I'm an evil guy, I hate America, or I'm a good guy, I love America, and I'm going to beat you up. And I think it really did help out the business.
Okay. Do you think that a lot, but did a lot of people not know it was fake until,
anyone who's ever...
Is that like finding out about like Santa or the Easter Bunny? Like, do you remember when you found out that wrestling wasn't real?
I mean, I started watching when I was 9, and I remember turning, just flipping through channels. I think I knew professional wrestling was a thing that existed.
Wrestling.
That is the most base level thing I can't say. Yeah. That sucks.
It's like the whole point of the thing. It's
oh, really? Somebody should have briefed me on this.
It is, but it's so much more than that. Are you ready? It's like a TED Talk happening right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. What
if
it is.
We impose some taboo-like rules behind the TED Talk, and threw in a little drunk history, as though it were hosted by a Jimmy Fallon or a Conan O'Brien. And that is how I would describe buzzed words to any of your friends who are not here tonight. So please.
I think it's more of like a Ted DiBiase talk.
Hey, there you go.
It's Million Dollar Man. That's wrestling reference. Back to you, Dave.
A lot of wrestling fans here.
Yeah, back to you.
What?
Wrestling.
Oh, now we know.
Damn it.
Okay.
It's Ben Hansen, you shut your mouth for the rest
it's
of this
about
thing.
Time you figure that out, though. It's about time.
Damn it.
So you were telling us about when you were 9 years old.
Yeah, let me take this and I'll continue. And
I remember when I was 9.
This is already getting bad because I'm at the point where I'm forgetting the question halfway through rambling about whatever the hell I'm talking about. So stay tuned on this.
Not unlike other buzzed words.
So I was 9 years old and flipping through channels, I think I'd heard of Hulk Hogan. That's safe now. Okay. I think I'd heard of him. I think he was doing movies and stuff at this point. This was like 93. And I remember flipping through the channels and I just saw Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels fighting each other. And Shawn Michaels was just the biggest prick in the universe. He was just being such an asshole to this guy that seemed super cool to me at the time. And I was just immediately, once, you know, I stopped flipping through channels, and this is the greatest thing. I need to see what happens here. I need to see Razor beat Shawn's ass. I need that so bad. And this was back when I'm treading lightly. Angles kind of spread out over the course of months, and now they're a little more scattershot. Like, you know, it's month to month, pay-per-view to pay-per-view. And back then, you'd have like 4 months or sometimes even years building into a storyline or a feud. And that was the thing, is Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels had a months-long just blood feud. They just hated each other over this Intercontinental title. And that culminated at WrestleMania 10, which was the first WrestleMania I ever saw. And it was the payoff. It was the hero, the guy I loved, Razor Ramon, beat the hell out of Shawn Michaels. And as a 9-year-old kid, that was the coolest thing in the world. Like, good, you triumphed over evil there. And I've just got completely hooked. I've never been immediately just like, holy shit, this is everything, more than wrestling. It was just the best thing in the world.
Wrestling.
All right.
Isn't it time to talk to Tim yet?
Yes, it is. Yes. Absolutely. It's a great segue.
Okay, great.
You look scared, Tim.
All right, let's talk about video game music.
Yeah, let's
videos.
Do it.
Let's
do it.
Oh wow!
Music.
All right, cool. All right.
See what it's like. Yeah,
I don't know what it was. Oh hell! All right,
it's two. Yeah.
Oh boy,
more bourbon.
It's two. See how fast he catches up.
Also bourbon. All right. Good.
So, can good music save a video game in the game? I mean, do you as a lover of video game music, is that something that you're looking for? Does it stand out for you, or is there like, I will seek this game out because I know this person composed it or this soundtrack is great?
Yeah, like it's just like any band that you like. If you start digging deep enough into video game music,
video music.
That's still two, right? Holy hell! All right. Oh, that was iced tea. Cool. Also iced tea. That's ah, all right. So the, you know, like the tunes that play during these interactive experiences it's just like any band. You can see someone who made this tune, this art, this oral art. and gravitate towards it, and then you follow it, and then you realize, oh, hey, here's this interactive experience that I was really interested in or kind of middling on, and hey, this person did the tunes for it, and and I want to go after that because I know that I like what this person has done before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite that you can tell us about, or is there a song, a particular video game, melody, or a song from a video game that it really sticks with you, maybe a favorite?
I mean, I think it's actually, I have this conversation a lot, and it usually ends up being, like, I get surprised by myself with how cliched it sounds, which is, it's a composer, he's
No? Let him go?
I think so, yeah.
Everybody fight over it.
Take it.
Take one?
No! Don't resort to violence! No!
Finish him.
Does elbow drop a beer?
Beer is the good guy. It's a,
yes.
Okay. So it's a Nintendo composer named Koji Kondo, who did everything from like Super Mario Brothers.
Mario.
Iced tea still. To The Legend of Zelda.
Oh yeah,
cool. And so, yeah, those are good games. All right.
Can you, for those, you mentioned to me how this will be difficult without having clips to play. Could you either hum a few bars of it or sing a little bit of it? So we know, I'm sure we'll recognize it once you do that.
Okay.
Of maybe either Zelda or the Super Mario theme that you like.
Yeah, I feel like. Let me think of like the best one. Gosh, there's a lot of them. I mean, obviously the main theme is like the doo 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 doo, which actually is interesting because like the way that's timed with like the doo 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 doo, like that is actually timed for the first time you're supposed to hit the jump button. Like that was composed because that's supposed to be like timing when you're supposed to jump on the first Goomba.
Okay,
that was actually supposed to be like that hit is supposed to be, or that note is supposed to be like, hey, like we can kind of make gameplay work with the tunes that are be playing here. I think, so honestly, I do think that like that Italian plumber game is like, all right.
The words change.
Yeah, no.
They do.
For sure they do. That was bourbon.
They do.
Huh. So that one with where his brother is Luigi.
Yeah,
that
I know it.
That one, like that actually was all the tunes were made.
Tune.
This evolves. No, this is seriously.
This is tough.
It's like iced tea again.
Living the dream.
How do I talk about this thing? I don't know how to do
this. It's like walking through a landmine.
Yeah, right.
Through a minefield. You can do it though. You can do it.
Okay, so basically,
you know what? You're good at video games, right?
I try.
Okay. So now put yourself in. This is the first person, okay? You're bouncing from maybe shroom to shroom here.
Yeah.
Okay, you can do this. You can do this.
All right, okay.
You know, okay.
I appreciate your faith.
So, I heard a little bit of that theme. How about the Zelda theme?
Oh, well, I mean.
Is there anything in the Zelda theme that cues you to do something like the Mario theme?
I mean, well, the interesting thing about that series starring Link is Link's the guy in the green hat and stuff.
Yeah.
Is that the. Sort of the audio in that game.
Game
is it? Okay, cool. Holy hell! This is just.
This is harder than I expected.
Yeah, real. Okay.
Tim, would you like me to talk to Dan for a while?
Okay. So the things that you hear when you are playing it, it's beyond just the track. The background track. It goes into the actions that you do in the game.
Game.
It feeds into the actions.
We're gonna need some more bourbon up here.
That you do in this interactive experience to the point where, like you open a treasure chest and it plays a do 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 do. And or you solve a puzzle and it plays back this tune.
Tune.
I can't say music or tune. Okay.
Tune.
Let him just do that one.
Just one? Okay.
That's all right.
Anyway, it plays while you while you do these things.
Do you want to wash it down with some beer?
Yeah. I'll get there. Okay. Anyway, so they use it to sort of punctuate gameplay rather than just like the background. So you do an action and they play this and it's like, oh, I did something good. And it wasn't just what was playing in the background.
Okay.
We made it through that question.
You did.
We did it.
You did. Now, were those 16-bit games? Did they or 8-bit?
That was right below it. That was half.
Okay.
Half of those bits.
So what are the differences between...
Bit.
You are on a vendetta. This is impressive. This is good. This is good.
I have no agenda. I have a lot of questions. I need to get through here. People want to know. They want to learn.
Yeah,
the
I'm here.
The difference between 8-bit and 16-bit. And why 8-bit is so much more popular. Why do we hear about 8-bit?
You think so?
Well, I don't know. See, maybe is it sort of like a hipster thing now to like 8-bit?
Yeah, you know, like 8-bit? Like there's the whole...
There's an 8-bit beer that you can get.
That's true. Is it 8-bit or is it 6-bit?
There's no 16-bit beer that I know about.
I said bit, right? Okay, cool.
Bit.
Twice. This one actually doesn't have anything.
You
can
borrow one of mine if you want. Right, cool. Yeah, I got some here. Go for it.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm getting smoked.
This might be a new land speed record for burning through.
So this different hardware of varying processing power. Like one is okay. The one that has 8 of those things. Uh-huh. It is. It's actually not so much like.
I'm with you. I don't want you to say any more words right now.
I assume that
I'm
everything
just trying to help,
in my
man.
Vocabulary
I just want
is
you to get
the...
a real answer out. I'm with you.
Okay. So the thing is that I think that the important distinction.
No, don't say it. I'm just kidding.
The NES.
Yes.
Versus the SNES. The NES.
Do you guys know what he's talking about?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good. Okay. Good.
Half
okay,
the room so, doesn't have.
All right. I'm going to dig
Nintendo
into this.
Nintendo Entertainment System.
Right.
Versus
correct.
Super Nintendo
yes,
Entertainment
okay, thank
System.
Thank you for that because I assume that some of those words.
SNES. Yes. I got it right.
So the reason that I think that the NES has that sort of nostalgia to it is the fact that the hardware, the sounds that were being made, like the
sounds.
Oh.
You got to stop saying the word that made you take a shot right after you say it. That's a really bad strategy on your part.
For real. So anyway, the NES, like those tracks, there's only so many words. That was built into the hardware. So every game ended up kind of...
Game.
No. Poor Dan's going to have nothing to drink now.
I'm okay with that at this point.
Tim has taken...
Every interactive experience
shots.
Ended up kind of sounding like the same thing because the NES had that sort of built. It was built into the hardware. There was only one sample channel. There was two square channels, which were for the melody, basically, and there's a triangle channel, which is for the bass. And then there was the white noise was basically for the percussion. Anytime you heard percussion in most NES games, it was because it's like white noise that was being it was like a snare drum, and it was just basically figuring out the duration of white noise that's going to come through into that specific channel. So there's four channels, and if one was being used, if one of the square channels for like the melody was being used for a sound effect, it would have to cut out. It would have to cut out, and it would take priority over it. So basically, what I'm
you
trying
can switch
to say,
to beer for
long
a while.
Story short, is that the NES was a little bit more. Everything sounded the same because it was built into the hardware, and that the SNES was mostly focused on samples. So you would actually record that sound.
Okay.
No, is that three times?
Hold on. Have a sip of beer. Have a sip of beer. It's all right.
We're worried about you, Tim.
Thank you. I think we got it.
So anyway, it was mostly based on samples so that everything on the SNES would actually end up sounding quite different because it was based on who what you recorded. Like that bass, like, you know, Foley artists kind of like what you would that real world sound. Oh, hell.
No, That's all right. You know what's a great sound is when you take a bunch of celery, you put it in a wet towel and you smack it on like a tabletop.
It's like a breaking bone.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good sound.
It's really good. Yeah.
I wish we had some wet celery right now.
How long did it take to get through that question? Like, it's at least 10 shots worth of time.
It was a tough question. The funny thing is that it's one of the ones you wanted me to ask you.
Oh, is that really?
So therein lies the
It's one of those tricky things where it's like, I need all those words.
You're like, okay, I really like this idea of getting free shots. What could I do? Yeah.
I'm a frugal guy.
Or I could, yeah, I get the shots early. All right, Tim, take a break, man. That was awesome.
Shit. Okay, that was we made great. It. That We're here
great.
Now.
That was great. That was great. Let's, yeah. Maybe we should, I have so many. Maybe we'll just speed these up just a little bit. Maybe, you know, some fun questions here about wrestling.
Okay.
Didn't you just come back from a WrestleMania? I mean, is this true? They're still having these? Is it pay-per-view? Like, is anyone ordering WrestleMania on pay-per-view? Is it okay? Is anyone getting it illegally somehow? Can we just, right? Can you just download it like the next day
that,
or something?
That actually happened a lot. There was a lot of piracy with pay-per-views, and that's part of the reason they introduced the WWE Network.
WWE.
Can I start filling up more shots with my empty glasses? Can I just start pouring him more shots?
Yeah, actually, he should get a couple more, right? Because okay. you took four of his,
I can,
right?
I'll pour
yeah,
them out.
You can give okay, him, yeah, right, take the ones you took from
okay,
him
all right,
and
cool.
give them back.
Right, Dan, keep yep. talking. It's fine.
Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah. okay.
I'm going to take my time here, Tim.
Okay, but cool. WWE, WWF, so you went to WrestleMania. Is that part of the WWF or the WWE? What is that?
The WWF. Okay. All right. I think I know what's going on here. that actually ended because the World Wildlife Fund, the wildlife panda people or whatever, they're they do something like that. Yeah, they
isn't it true that Iron Sheik was clubbing baby seals on stage?
I didn't see that angle. No.
Oh, that was. Let's go with that.
So they actually got the rights to WWF.com. And Vince McMahon decided that, like, well, hell, if we can't have that website, we need to change the name of the entire company. And so that's why they changed to the current name of the company.
Okay, so WWE is formerly WWF.
Yes, it's the same company. And Vince McMahon basically took over everything. He it used to be in the 70s and 80s. Am I okay? Am I good?
Yeah,
okay.
For now. Right. For now.
It was territory based. So you would have Jim Crockett Promotions in the Carolinas. You'd have World Class Championship Wrestling in Texas. You had the AWA up here in Minnesota. They were all these different territories. And Vince is a genius and an incredible businessman. And he went around and basically took all the top talent from all of the promotions or the territories and put them all completely out of business. And he has had competition from Ted Turner started WCW. And, you know, he's like, well, yeah, I'm going to start this company up and I'm going to bury Vince McMahon. I've got
McMahon.
You put Vince McMahon on there.
McMahon. Yep.
Two for you.
It's easy to do that.
Two for you. Yeah. He didn't just put it on there. It's been up there. You've been dancing around it. That was good.
Oh,
but,
really?
Yeah. But I can see your love for Vince McMahon. You have a lot of passion for him. I think he's like a role model for you.
I have a crazy amount of respect for that guy.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually met him in a hotel in Minneapolis like 2 years ago, and that's like an absolute highlight of my life. I was in an elevator with him. Vince.
What did you do when you met him? Yep. Vince.
I'm going to call him the boss. The boss held the elevator door open for me as I was getting into it, and me and my friend Brian, who works with us, we're just standing in there, like next to the boss, and it's like, holy shit! Like,
did you say
the
anything?
Guy? Yeah, we talked to him. I got a picture with him, and it was great because all the other. I have to take these, don't I? I'm not skimping on it. Hang on. Was it two or just one?
Two.
It was two. That's unanimous. All right.
It was two for you. Yep. Two for your hero.
Yes, he is. I have unbelievable amount of respect for that man. And what the hell was I just talking about right before?
You were in an elevator with him.
Elevator
and it got
with
awkward.
Him.
Why?
I don't think it was awkward.
No, that's not what he said.
Oh, it's like, is he here? His theme music's about to start up.
No chance.
Jesus, I forgot what the hell I was going to say.
You're in an elevator with Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember. I remember.
Do 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 do.
Okay.
Jump.
Here's what happened. I remember now. So it was after they were taping an episode of Raw, which is their Monday night show that's been going on
is
for
that on Cinemax?
20-something years.
late night? Yeah. I think I used to get a scrambled version of that when my parents were asleep.
How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing all right. You too?
You're just like squinting and burping at me, so it's...
Good. You're just squeaking and burping.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are like great video game noises. All
right. So it was right after
raw,
they...
You're in an elevator raw with Vince McMahon.
Just raw, dirty, yeah.
So at this point, you guys, you and your friend have stripped down, and he is looking
at
you.
We're completely nude in an elevator.
I appreciate
me and this 70-year-old billionaire oiled up.
Yeah, I like you guys better on Twitter. Please.
So it's after the show is done, and me being the obsessive super fan I am, I know that the hotel that these guys stay at after Raw,
creepy.
And we like to go. Yeah, we're creepy as fuck. And we like to go, and we drink, and you see all the wrestlers coming like, oh, hell, it's this guy. It's like, oh, cool, cool. And all the wrestlers immediately go to the bar right after the show. And, you just had a change, didn't you? Okay. And they're all drinking and stuff. And so all these guys were like 28-year-old athletes, you know, just super in shape and stuff, are just drinking
at
the bar.
What do they drink? Michelob Ultra?
But they're all there just having fun and drinking. And then Vince, it changed. Vince McMahon. Oh, okay.
Nice.
I can say it. Okay, Vince McMahon is coming down, and he's wearing these like workout clothes and stuff, and he's going down to the gym. The dude is like 70 years old. He's giant. And he's going down to the gym in the hotel. And I got to imagine what all the guys at the bar are saying is like, shit, like, it's our job to be in shape and everything. And the old man who runs the company is going to the gym at 11, and here we are drinking. Like, he is a maniac. He's completely insane, but he's also a complete genius.
Awesome. Meanwhile, there's two guys in like jeans and flannel shirts on the treadmill next to him. Hey,
yeah,
how you doing?
Yeah,
just working out.
Yeah.
What's up?
Gets really sweaty and stuff. Yeah.
Not even checked in here.
Can I tell a stupid story about
Please.
Vince real quick?
Okay. Absolutely.
So I knew a guy that used to write for WWE. Okay.
You, like, wait, when you say that, do you mean like write like what the characters?
He was a writer. He was a writer for like, the TV shows.
They are essentially the characters. Are they? They are actors. You said that sort of. Yeah, now they're playing a version of themselves, but
most
they
of
have
them
dialogue
are
dialogue written for them. I mean, they have like plots, right?
They
you
do.
Can beat this guy, and you have to do it in this way.
Yes.
Like, so somebody's writing that.
Yeah, well, not so much the matches themselves, because those are kind of called in the ring. You know, the more veteran wrestler will say, like, you know, you'll see him when he's picking him up, like, whisper, like, oh, hey, okay, whip me into the corner, duck the clothesline, stuff like that.
I know.
But the actual feuds...
So wait a minute. The real wrestling is happening in close hold whispers?
That's accurate. Yeah. Yeah. They have to communicate in the ring without making it clear to the fans. But you can see it if you watch enough wrestling. Okay, that's where he's calling the spots.
And you have.
Right there.
And you have.
Yeah.
Are they saying this to the officials, too?
The referee, actually, yeah. He's got a huge, huge role in the match. He's not just a guy to give the illusion of there being rules or an actual sport or anything like that. He is communicating things.
Doug
Henning
is now a... the world is an illusion. Sorry.
Yeah. And so he'll have a headpiece in, and let's say they're running long on a match or whatever. Vince McMahon will be backstage with a head.
McMahon.
Playing with fire there.
Yeah.
Okay, so two wrestlers, they're holding each other, they're whispering in each other's ears. And then what? I'm going to dip you, please.
What's the question?
You had a story about someone writing. You had a story about a writer, though.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're going to have to remind me a lot because it's just fleeting at this point. So he was a writer from 97 to 03, and Vince is super hands-on with the product. And all Vince knows... All Vince knows is wrestling. Every time he's tried to...
Wrestling.
That's all that brother knows, huh? Wrestling.
So anything outside of that industry, he sucks at. He's tried, a lot of you might have heard of the XFL. He tried to start a football league, and it just bombed.
Yeah,
he tried
I went to one of those. Wow.
You went to an XFL game?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. I got a friend. They were bussing people down to USC and just please go to this in LA. And I got a free XFL football. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So, he tried to start a World Bodybuilding Federation, and that sucked.
Yeah,
and, everything he's done outside of his industry is terrible. And his dad was part of it, too. It was a promoter, so he grew up in this business. And so they were bringing up this angle, the storyline they wanted to do, where this wrestler, The Big Show, he was going to be poisoned by a burrito, by whoever he was feuding with. There's going to be... I don't remember who it was, but the guy was going to put poison in Big Show's burrito, and Big Show was going to get really sick, and he wasn't going to be able to wrestle that night.
And they brought it up at the writer's meeting, and Vince just immediately shot it down. He's like, no, of course not. Of course not. And the guy's like, why? It seems like a thing we would do. And Vince is, again, this is like early 2000s. And Vince goes, who the hell knows what a burrito is?
Like, raise your hand if you guys know what a burrito is.
Yeah. Like, I think Chipotle was around in the early 2000s.
That is fantastic. Who the hell knows what a burrito is? Vince McMahon, 2006.
Yeah, yeah. He's so insular with his business that, like, he just assumes, like, what the hell is that? Some crazy ethnic food. And
so, and was it in a ham on rye then or something? I mean.
Well, here's the great part of that, is that every day for lunch, what he was having his assistant bring him was a burrito. And
what the hell
he
is
just
this?
He didn't know what it was. He called it a meat wrap, and he would he would open it up and put ketchup in it and eat his meat wrap.
Come on.
And had no idea what a burrito was.
So we got a 70-year-old guy in great shape working out eating meat wraps with ketchup.
Yes.
Who the hell knows what a burrito is? Yeah. I'll take another meat wrap. Yes.
Extra ketchup, come on.
Fantastic. Oh, yeah. Meat wrap. That is awesome. Thanks for sharing that. I'm kind of hungry for a meat wrap right now. I got to be honest with you. In fact, I want to go into Chipotle and order one.
Meat wrap. I'll have a chicken meat wrap.
Meat wraps that you have?
That's super stupid.
On it. Yeah. What is my assistant bringing me? Keep them coming, though. These are great. These are great.
Great meat wraps.
So what about where... are there good wrestling video games? And even better, how about a wrestling video game that has decent music? Does that exist? Either of you can chime in on this.
I mean, you say that, and I immediately...
It super doesn't.
No?
Right?
No,
I don't know. You played No Mercy
music?
A bunch.
Tim, is there are there good wrestling video games? Just not
oh, yeah,
with good
for
music?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, most of them exist on the N64. I think Dan and I both agree that WrestleMania 2000
and No Mercy
were like the two.
I love how you guys complete each other's sandwiches like that. That was fantastic.
No, wait, meat wraps. Meat wraps is what we... That's how that works, yeah.
Do you want to build a snowman?
The music sucks.
No, but what about the No Mercy menu music, the diggity dog thing?
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah, diggity dog.
It just mixes together like slogans from different pros in the industry as just like their slogans and like mixes it into a remix of some generic metal.
Oh, it's like wrestling. Oh, wrestling metal.
That's
with
it.
Their
yeah,
slogans?
Yeah. Over there's just like diggity 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 diggity
brother.
Diggity diggity. Yes, yeah. There's a lot of brothers.
Meat rap. Diggity 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 diggity.
It was meat rap core was the genre at the time.
Okay. Okay, so no good music in wrestling video games, but there are good wrestling video games.
Yeah, there are a lot of bad ones. A few really, really good ones. I mean, I'm always the guy at Game Informer that reviews the wrestling games, obviously. And, you know, they're of varying quality. Lately, they've been doing a really good job. Like, there's only one game in town now, and that's Vince's company. So there's less, like, back in the day, it was like you had the Vince company video games and WCW and ECW, and there was way more variance. And like, well, the ECW games are terrible, or this one, whatever. But now that it's under one umbrella, it's very, I don't know.
Can you use PlayStation Move controllers for wrestling? Like, can you
no.
jump off the back of your couch onto your
no,
little brother?
No.
There then was. I'd be playing wrestling video games.
I did have to review a game called Hulk Hogan's Main Event.
Hulk.
All right.
What was your review of said game?
It was the lowest score I've ever given, actually.
What is
it? I gave
that?
It a one out of 10.
Oh.
And because it uses this Kinect accessory for Xbox, which is supposed to track your motion and stuff. So you're, I guess, on paper, supposed to be actually performing body slam.
You look like Andy Serkis in one of the Lord of the Rings films, and you had a bunch of balls
and you're supposed
on
to...
the skin tight suit, and you're like, hey, brother.
No, you're just standing in front of the stupid camera, and you're trying to move and do stuff, and it never.
Move.
Catching up.
I think it was stuff.
I have no idea what that could actually be.
I don't know.
You're taking a trip down Tim Lane here. This is going to be good.
Oh, God. It's a dangerous alley. Oh, boy. All right. I'm talking about the game still?
No, you gave it a one. I think we got it, right?
It's real bad game.
That was a bad game.
Yeah.
Do you we sort of touched on this before, but I don't think we really got it all the way out. I want to talk about this idea of when you first found out that wrestling wasn't real, and what about people now that when you express your love for wrestling, and they say, well, that stuff's just, it's not real. How do you even like that? You're a grown man, right? Why do you, you know?
On paper, yeah.
I mean, do you ever hear this? Do you have a girlfriend or a wife?
Right now, no.
Okay, well.
I'm a single man. Yes. Wrestling obsessed
ladies?
Drunk guy.
Yeah, here you go. Said, available. Yeah. Available.
Yeah. Hey! Oh my God, is that something?
Did, I mean, do women like professional wrestling?
No.
Okay. Have you ever lost a wrestling match to a woman?
What? No, I don't. No.
Answer the question.
I don't think I've had one.
Andy Kaufman did.
Kaufman. Yeah, in Memphis. That stuff's great.
Have you ever used wrestling as like a little bit of foreplay? Like you want to wrestle?
Absolutely not. Okay. That is not going to enter my sex life in any way.
I don't know. I don't know, man. It's your passion. Yet to hear you sit, you're available.
You can maybe separate your passions.
Do you? Yeah. Okay. Okay. I don't know. Here you go. Here you go. Can we role play a little bit?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right, we won't do that so much, but imagine this. You're talking to an attractive woman that you just met. She finds out about, maybe that's how she first meets you, she finds out that you love wrestling, you love professional wrestling. Sell her on why it's all right. And what's cool? What do you love about it so much, even though, and she's like, it's fake. You're a grown man.
And that's the main thing you have to deal with whenever you want to be a fan of this industry.
Fan.
I don't know.
I think I know what it is. All right. That's the main question you get. And it's one I've gotten my entire life from my father, who hates wrestling.
Wrestling.
Thanks, Tim.
Yes, father is
made
up
a little
there
closer
now.
Thanks.
Disapproving father is at the top of the list.
Yeah.
Pretty much all of our guests, though. It's the same thing.
It's a good bet, yeah.
Yeah. Don't tell your father what you did tonight either, because it's... You did what?
So you have to defend yourself as an interested person in this industry if you're going
to
be that.
You're trying to pick up a girl, though. Defend it now to
her. Yeah, okay.
Don't look at me, because that part was hard. If you need to focus on someone, or just picture this beautiful girl in your mind that you've just met in the bar, and she's questioning you. Maybe Art's head. There's a blank slate
it's
there that
beard.
You can look at.
Oh, all right.
Go ahead.
So
pitch
Art.
It to her. So you like wrestling, huh? I'm speaking for Art now. This
wow,
or the woman
doing some sexy stuff over here. Look at this guy.
So no, how do you? You said you've had to defend yourself your whole life about this. To disapproving fathers, to other people,
yeah.
You're a grown-ass man who likes
yes.
people in spandex
the
who whisper to each other and cradle each other with whispers.
Yes.
And then break chairs over their backs.
Yeah. It is inherently the stupidest industry. And I think that's part of why I love it. But I think what people don't get about it is you don't watch it like a sport. Like my dad, he's a big Kansas City Royals fan, and he always says, like, oh, when I watch a Royals game, I don't know who's going to win ahead of time. And that's completely missing the point.
And you're like, yeah, Dad, in 85 they won.
Exactly.
They haven't been good since then.
Exactly.
Well, remember the 85 Royals, son.
But every year to him, this is the year. But yeah, no. You don't watch it like that. You watch it like, it's more like a Rocky movie, like the fight at the end of a Rocky movie to where, you know, Rocky's going to win, you know, but it's the drama. It's the storyline leading into it.
Okay.
And it really just has nothing to do with, like, knowing who's going to win. Like, you know that a bunch of dorks backstage wrote this ahead of time. But the thing is, like, I've never met a fan of this industry.
Fan.
Fuck. All
right, Jesus Christ. That's a lot of shots, Dan. You.
All right. So... I know a few like fans of baseball.
Fan.
Fuck, really?
You're gonna bring it right up to Tim's level here, and then we.
It's hard to do this.
It sucks super bad. Yeah. I don't know.
Remember, the girl is still waiting.
Yeah. No, she left the bar
she's
a while
like,
ago.
Why do you keep? She's like, God, this guy. All he does is pound shots, and not answer my questions.
Yeah.
I had one question. Yeah.
Jesus, it's hard to even like keep a train of thought going here. I was just about to say some. Oh yeah, so there are people that watch baseball,
But you don't know anyone that watches baseball that keeps like DVDs of every World Series, because, you know, like the thing is, that's an actual sport. That's an actual thing. And you're not going to watch those over and over. But for fan. Did I finish the word?
Yep, you can. Okay. You can say that word.
Guys like me, we watch WrestleMania.
Fans of professional whispering. You can use whispering now for wrestling.
So you watch wrestling, like I said, like a Rocky movie. And you know, even if you've seen it before, like I have every WrestleMania on DVD, and you watch it again, because even though you know who's going to win and you know that was predetermined ahead of time, it's the drama leading up to it.
Okay.
And
so that, and you say, how'd you like a little drama tonight?
What, the girl says that?
Or no, maybe you say that to her. I don't know. I'm just trying to help.
That's a bad pickup line.
It is. Like, I've been married for 13 years, so
drama.
Sorry. I'm just trying to bring it around. So you want some drama? Yeah. How'd you like a little drama tonight?
No. If you want to go make out or something, that's cool. But
yeah, I might whisper in your ear. Who knows? Give me the better line then. Close it out with the line.
My pickup lines don't usually revolve around wrestling.
But tonight it does. So you're special. There you go. So now you've given her that. I've never felt this open with a woman I've just met before. You're adjusting your singlet now. Would you like to go to the gym and see my boy Vince sweating out his meat wrap?
Nothing like a sweaty 70-year-old.
Okay. All right. All right, Tim, in all fairness, we're going to close out the first act here with, now you are trying to woo a woman,
right.
And what video game music would you use for a romantic evening, maybe? What's music you'd have on in the background for a candlelit dinner with a woman?
Oh, man, that's a really good question, actually.
Well, thank you.
You know, I don't think anyone's going to know the game Streets of Rage.
Game.
Did I say game?
Game.
You keep doing that.
I know. I super know.
I like that he's like, did okay, I right, say game? Okay, so Streets the idea of is with, Rage, with, it doesn't with, sound very romantic.
No,
Streets
no, it doesn't,
Rage,
but the specific thing with that particular title is that it's a very smoldering, the Sega Genesis uses like an FM synth. It's a synthesizer kind of chip in there, and it has a sort of like 90s really really erotic. Like yeah, you know what I'm going for.
Like Color Me
you're
Bad.
You're talking about like,
or like Color Me Bad.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like a Prince, sex, like a Prince song. Like yeah. Oh man. Yeah.
Like it's Kiss like, by like Prince.
Boom, boom, oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm talking
awesome.
About. And then like. The melody goes over that, and it's oh my gosh, yeah, it's smoldering, it's downright murky. Is what
I like
it. Is.
I like it's, it. I think both you guys are getting laid tonight. This is fantastic. All right. Thank you. All right, that was a great first half. We're going to take a brief intermission, grab a drink, use the restroom. Thanks, you guys. We'll be back with your questions in the second half.
You're drinking a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
All right, that was the first half of this Buzzed Words and where we're going to leave off with this podcast episode. The next episode will include several questions posed by the live audience, as well as a reversal where the contestants will have to answer questions about the other's area of expertise. That episode will be released on Saturday, May 17th. To find out more information about Buzzed Words, head to facebook.com/buzzedwords or follow us on Twitter @buzzedwords. To find out more information about Modern Antics and their many and varied events, head to modernantics.com. For more about Jeff, check out booksandbars.com. And to find out more information about this podcast or any of the many other podcasts or blogs on the Math is Hard Network, check us out at mathishard.net. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again soon.